Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. Folks, we are just continually working our way through draft season. It's going to be here before you know it. But you know what? Let's slow it down and enjoy the process. We got some guys on today. Yes, yes, yes. Xavier Restrepo, Miami all-time receiver in receptions and receiving yards. We got Landon Jackson, too, man. And you folks, you know, these are two guys that I've talked about a lot. So looking forward to talking to them. But speaking of talking a lot, we're going to go ahead and switch it up to Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, run, TMC.
For who?
For you.
Yeah.
Fresh, 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 fresh.
Ooh, as the music fades and the lights dim. And now, starting at power forward for your Philadelphia 76ers. Out of Maryland via Minnesota, number 54, Ben Coleman.
I changed my name up. I changed this to hey, and now starring for the Tennessee Titans, playing tight end, Ben Troop.
Yo, Troop was all right for a minute though, man. You know he's doing media too now. He's doing media too. Yeah.
I was. What was that other tight end that was there that had a bad body? What was his name?
That was what with the Titans back then?
With the Titans, yeah. Then he went to Atlanta. Oh, what was his name?
Anytime you say tight end with bad body, I think of Algie Crumpler.
Michael Pruitt?
That's who it is. That who is. Algie Crumpler.
Oh. Yeah. Yo, let me tell you something, man. He's still alive, thank God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yo, he ballooned up. At one point, Algie Crumpler, he weighed like 400 pounds.
You are lying. See, now I feel bad, man.
He
Why
got
you make me
big.
Feel bad?
Hey, listen, I'm just going to shoot straight.
I mean, man. But when he played, man, he I don't know how he would get open, man.
He was a beast. Well, you know what it was? He'll lean. And you know, this segues right into what I want to talk about.
Absolutely.
But he was a beast. You know, he wasn't fast. He wasn't quick. But he would lean into you and, get you know, create that separation that way. I'll never forget when Brian Dawkins hit him in that NFC Championship game. Let me tell you something. That sounded like a car accident, man. Like, it was bad. You know, Dawk was thrown off a little bit.
Yeah, and people don't understand how physical the NFL is, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when Eddie George, I know it's a little bit off the street, when Eddie George was, we were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Lynch and him met up in the A-gap. When I say that was the loudest sound that I've ever heard, to where the people in the first row of the stands put their head on their head because they're like, man, are these guys alive?
Yeah.
It's a physical game, TD.
Super physical, man. It's crazy.
Ooh.
But we talk about the leverage and the leaning into and creating separation. That leads me right to, I wanted to, because we got him on a little bit later, Xavier Restrepo. And obviously, you know, he ran the 4.8. All right, it is what it is, man. Like, you know, obviously it's not good, but end of the day, you pay him to play football, not run straight line. But when you look at him play, you know, what's your overall kind of feedback when you watch a guy like that play?
Number one, there's a couple of things that I really love about this kid. First of all, he's 5'10", so he's not really a big kid. But here's the thing that I love about him, his quickness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy got some good quickness. What did you say? Suddenly I got to get somewhere or suddenly get up out of these cuts, what you say all the time?
Oh, yeah, very sudden, in and out of his cuts.
Very sudden. I mean, he gets up at it. There's no wasted motion. There's nothing. And then he knows how to change directions in tight spaces. I mean, that's what makes him so special. He knows what he's doing. He understands that even though – I don't run a 4-3. I'm creating separation to where there's a window to where the quarterback can throw it. I mean, it bothers me sometimes, and I tend to do this sometimes also, to where if a guy doesn't run a 4-4 or a 4-5 or a 4-3, that he's not a good receiver. This guy gets open. He creates separation. He's got quickness. He's got the suddenlies, what you're talking about, and he changes direction at the top of the route. And then this is a guy that he reminds me of, and I know a lot of people may not know him when he played with the Houston Oilers, is he reminds me of a Webster Slaughter. Mm. Webster Slaughter, man, when I tell you when I got in the league, I knew how to run routes, not to the extent of when I got with Les Steckel, but when I watched Webster Slaughter, when I tell you that he's running full speed and he stops on a dime, and I'm like, whoa, I've never seen that in my life, and that's kind of who reminds me of.
That's an interesting comparison, man.
Yeah.
I know you've said that he was one of the best route runners you've ever seen.
Better than what's going to call it? Jerry Rice.
That's hefty right there. Look, I'm not disagreeing. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm just doing for emphasis. So with Restrepo, yeah, or even like when you look at a guy that had, like, you had the measurables, you know what I mean, coming out. Yeah. You had the measurables, you know, but when you look at some of these guys who don't, like, how much do you weigh the whole what they do at the combine versus the body of work?
And when I say this, I want people to understand, I'm saying this in a respectful way, is Calico. I'll give you a perfect example. Big, 6'3", 6'4", run 4.37. Long, test out well, but he didn't have the intangibles of understanding how to run routes. And in this league, you have to run routes, because at the end of the day, if they go to a cover two shell and all you can do is run straight, your game is shot.
Yeah.
You got to understand how to create separation and do those things. And that's what, you know, people tend to forget, because, oh, he's not fast enough, he can't take the top off the defense. Well, maybe he creates separation and gets the same result as of getting open, catching the football, and yak yards after catch. So it's just understanding what you do well. And as a coach, you know, I need to figure out what does he do well to make sure he's in position to be successful.
When you look at, you know, some of these guys like this, how much do you think the understanding of the game, the knowing where they need to go, the sight adjustments and all of that, and just being able to think on the fly and move on the fly, like, how much do you think that offsets the so-called lack of straight line speed?
Because if you have the 40 time, if you have the height, you can catch, but you don't know your assignment, you don't know about side adjusts, you don't know about leverages, you don't know about coverages, and the quarterback can't touch you, can't trust you. You may have all the intangibles, but if you don't understand what the whole concept of running routes, the whole concept of getting open, you're going to be sitting on the sidelines. I've seen it so many times to where guys come in, they're fast, they're this and they're that, but they don't understand side adjust. They don't understand to where if that safety shifts over, and there's somebody that's on top of the slot guy, 9 times out of 10, that guy's blitzing off the slot, and that guy's taking over. It's called leave and replace. But if you don't know those things, then you're gonna be a step slower. So even though you may run a 4-3 or 4-4, if you're a step slow, it's like actually playing 4-8.
Yeah, that's a great point, because it and I always liken it to, like, the first time I came to this studio. I say, you know, the first time I came to the studio, it took me about 15 minutes because I was trying to feel my way out. I didn't know where I was going for sure. But then now it's like 10, because, like, I know which way to go. I know if there's traffic here, I take this shortcut, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think route running or playing receiver is any different.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. And the thing about it is, if you look at some of the players that come in, if you don't know what you're doing and you're not doing what you're supposed to, then you're going to play a step slower. But as a wide receiver, you're playing with confidence. You know what the assignment is. Then now all your skill set can come into play. You know, it's kind of like playing quarterback. If you're a step slow, you're not going to let your skill set come into fruition. And that's the same thing as wide receiver. If you're a step slower and don't know what you're doing, then you're playing a little tentative and you're playing not to mess up. So it's all those things that come into play.
I think that familiarity transfers into the quarterback-receiver relationship too. So let's kind of get into that, right? So, obviously, Cam Ward, we know, he's coming to Nashville. You know what I mean? He's going to be here. But you look at some of the guys, right? They're pretty hot and heavy on Kyle Williams out of Washington State.
Right.
Who, mind you, I don't know if you watched last year's Colorado game, actually 2023. But let me tell you something. He and Travis Hunter, they got that stuff on. Like, they were getting it on. You know? You got him that they're hot on. He came for a visit. You got Restrepo, who, you know, they – they talked to. They haven't had him for a visit, but, you know, he was there at Cam's workout, right. so on and so forth. But when you look at just that familiarity, like how critical do you think it is to have Cam be with Kyle Williams or Xavier Restrepo?
But see, there's a trust factor, and I'm gonna give you a scenario of two of the best receivers of all time, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. Why were they so successful? Why were they able to catch 100 balls a year? It's because they trust each other. They knew, you know, Peyton Manning knew that when I throw the ball, check this out, when I throw the ball, that I know that my receiver is gonna be in the right spot. Why? Because we're familiar with each other. I remember one year we were playing him during the season, and I went out there to warm up. Guess who's warming up on the side? Marvin Harrison and Peyton Manning. They're talking about stuff. They're talking about routes. They're talking about the route tree. They're talking about, okay, if the DB is doing this and his leverage is that or the safety's over top, this is where I want the football. And this is the great part about why I love football, because everything they said translated to the play that was made on the field. Why? Because they talked about it. They were familiar with each other. And the third one, the third component that is the most important, is they trust each other, and that's what it's all about, trust.
Man, football is like everything, you know, in this. It's so relationship-based, you know. And I love the sport because it's the way it exemplifies life, you know what I mean? You get knocked down, you get up, you know, you get challenged, and you force yourself to elevate above the challenge. You get
– Come on, man.
You communicate and you spend time with somebody, you form a relationship together, you guys become more – productive. I love all of those things about this game. If you had to pick, like, what would be the biggest lesson you learned from football, what would it be?
Man, just about how to overcome adversity. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when I first came in, I came in and nobody was expecting me to do anything. Next thing I made the all-rookie team and, you know, things like that. And then going to a situation to where, you know, I get hurt, you know, my following years in college and feeling like I want to give up. But every day you got to come to practice and trust the process. Those are things that you had to learn. And then on the flip side, to where if you just apply this to life, to where I played with a team, we had all different ethnicities on the team. So it wasn't a white Titan, a black Titan, or a Chinese Titan. It was called a Titans player. And the reason why I share that story is if we just get a taste of that we're all on the same team, then we can come together and do some great things.
Man.
And that's what happened in 1999. When you had different ethnicities, but we all had one goal, to get to the Super Bowl, and we worked together and we did something great. So if we just get a taste of that in life, in the White House, in the Blue House, in the Green House, then we can do some great things.
You said something that reminded me. So Emory Hunt, a football game plan, Brandon Howard, Chris James, and myself, we came together and we did a book, a two book series, and one of them was like a football love story and what did football teach me. And for the book, Ronnie Lott did a promo. Mm. And I'm going to have to send it to you because like it gives me – like I'm getting chills now thinking about it because he was like, you know, the thing about football is the huddle. And he said all walks of life, all different people, we're all there in the huddle, but this is our huddle. And you don't want anybody else in that huddle. And if someone's not on the same page, they get kicked out of the huddle. I was like, yo, Ronnie Lott got me ready to run through a building, man. But we're running short on time. But before we do, like, I know you and Steve McNair, like, you guys came in together.
Yes.
Obviously, after 2 years, you know, with Chris Chandler primarily as a starter, he kind of took over. And you guys moved to Memphis, et cetera, et cetera. We know the story. But what would you say were like the key parts in just the culture changing when McNair got into that starting position in 97?
But just going through the adversity together, that's what bonded us together. When we went to Memphis, we got booed. We went to, you know, Vanderbilt, we got booed again. But then we went through the adversity. We went through the pain. We went through the crying. We went through all those things. And then in 1999, when we beat the Jacksonville Jaguars for the third time to go to the Super Bowl, you can just see the relief in Steve McNair's eyes to be like, man, we finally did it. We went through the pain. We went to got laughed at. We used to have practices in Bellevue in trailer homes. See, nobody knows that. And we used to practice in the parking lot. And getting laughed at, the laughing stock of the NFL, to where we're in trailer homes. We didn't even really have a weight room. That's how crazy it was.
I heard
those
stories.
But in 1999, all the laughing, all the crying, all the, you know, the adversity we went through, the laughingstock of the NFL, all of a sudden that same team that was down is now up and going to the Super Bowl. Those are the things I remember.
Goosebumps, man. Last thing before I get you out of here, we're going to fast forward to April 25th, right? Cam Ward in his nice suit, got the baby blue shirt on, the navy suit, you know, some fresh tie, like everything. He's set up. He just gets done talking to us, the media, and then he walks out, and you're standing there on the third floor at St. Thomas Sports Park, ready to meet him at the waiting at the elevator, and you see him. And he says, you know, Chris, I know you saw Steve McNair start his career.
Yeah.
What would be the biggest lesson that you would give me to be able to have that type of career at this point in my life?
There's two. That's a great question. There's two things. Number one, you got to trust the process. Trust the process. Trust what's going to happen. There's going to be bumps and bruises, but trust the process, and you're going to get there. And number two, this is the most important, always stay coachable. You have to stay coachable. If you get in a situation to where you start saying, I know it all, you're going to fall flat on your face. But if you just stay coachable and trust the process, the next thing you know, you might be in the Super Bowl just like Steve McNair. So those are the two things I would say to him.
Mic drop on that note. No joke, no nothing. Hey. Segment's over, period.
Peace.
This is Traylon Burks, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You hear DMX. He said X going to give it to you. We got a guy that I would imagine his teammates call him X, and he's one of the toughest receivers in this draft class. That's Miami receiver Xavier Restrepo. I'm very excited to have this opportunity. Xavier, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate you coming on, and I just want to start it off by telling you I really respect your game, the toughness that you play with, the way you're able to create that separation, the way you know how to just play that slot position so well, man. It's remarkable, and I know you're going to do that at the next level, and I can't wait to watch you play on Sundays.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. So I just, you know, I know you grew up, right, watching Santana Moss. You grew up watching Reggie Wayne. And here you are at this point. You're Miami's all-time receptions leader, all-time receiving yards leader. You're fourth all-time in touchdowns. And we're talking about, you know, names like Michael Irvin, Andre Johnson. I mean, Leonard Hankerson, who's up there too. But here it is. You're on top of all that. How much pride do you take in, you know, finding yourself at the top of a list with all those type of names in it?
No doubt. I mean, it's definitely, you know, wholesome, you know, to think about. But, I mean, I've put in so much work, you know. I really expect nothing less, you know, for myself. I've obviously had, you know, wonderful teammates and amazing coaches over the past couple of years that helped me, you know, achieve all those goals. But, I mean, I've put so much work in behind closed doors and all that, you know, that's something that I expected. But, I mean, to say the less, you know, I mean, it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't imagine. Now, when we watch you, right, and again, getting back to that leverage, the separation, just the understanding of the position, who are some of the guys that you watched coming up that helped you just kind of get that feel and that just natural instinct for it?
Right. I mean, I've watched so much football, you know, that, you know, I've watched, you know, everybody's part of their game, what they do best. And, you know, I just try to implement it in mine. And, I mean, I'm a true student of the game. So, I mean, again, I revolve my life around football and just watch so much tape.
Were there any particular players that stand out? Like when I mentioned, you know, who are some of the guys that you watch coming up? I know Santana Moss and Reggie Wayne. But
Yeah. Of course, Santana Moss, Julian Edelman, Steve Smith was a big one. Wes Welker, you know, I used to watch guys like Devon Bess. And, you know, again, just I could go on and on, you know, with the list.
Man, I love that you brought up Devon Bess because that dude in the slot, he was a technician. That's pretty cool. When you talk about the feel for the game, right, and just being able to pick up the blitz and get on the same page with the quarterback, like how did you manage to be able to get to that point?
Right. I mean, me and Cam, you know, spent a lot of time together, you know, so we've watched, you know, so much film that by the time Saturday hits, we've played the game, you know, 6-7 times before we even step on the field, you know. So it's honestly, it was at a point where it was like easy. We just had to execute it, you know.
That preparation that you mentioned, like, are there any particular stories? I remember you told me at the Senior Bowl, I think it was, you told me about how, you know, you guys went and grabbed ice cream, and that was one of the first things you did together, and that kind of started the relationship. Were there any, like, stories that stand out to you?
Oh, yeah. Great play.
Again, other than, you know, grabbing a smoothie, you know, when we first stepped on campus, I mean, we have so much stories, you know. Honestly, stories that I don't even know if I could tell. but I mean, again, we have a relationship where, you know, we've spent, again, a lot of time together.
And I get it. You want to keep it PG rated. We're talking to Xavier Restrepo, Miami receiver. He's going to be in the NFL, coming to you soon. Any PG stories, though? Like, is there one that you could tell? I know I'm pressing it a little bit, but I'm really curious.
Right now, for sure. I mean, I would probably say there's a lot more that I can't tell than I could. But, I don't even really know. I mean, it's not really stories because it was just like, it's like a part of our lives, you know? Like, it wasn't like a thing where it was like, oh my gosh, I remember when that happened. It's literally just like, that's how we used to live, you know? It's like, we used to always be around each other, always be in the facility at 5:00 in the morning. And I mean, we have a great relationship with our training staff too. So, I mean, we have a lot of stories about that too, how they would come in at, you know, 5:20 or like 5:45 and we would be there already. And me and Cam would be chirping and getting the whole entire training room up and rowdy, you know, super early. So, again, that's just, you know, one of the things that we used to do. But, I mean, again, it was just a part of our lives. And to say the least, you know, we had a pretty good year.
Yeah, no, absolutely a pretty good year. And I think, you know, you look at Shannon Dawson, you know, he came in and helped that offense, you know, in a couple years that he's been there. How much do you feel like what he did and instituted was able to help you showcase what you're able to do naturally?
No doubt. Me and Coach Dawson have a really, really good relationship, and I feel like he's one of the biggest parts of why I've succeeded over the years, because he's allowed me to be myself and play football, you know, not be robotic and not be, you know, oh, do this. Like, just allow me to, you know, he understands that me and Cam watch a lot of football, you know, so he doesn't have a problem with, you know, me changing something up with Cam as long as we're both on the same page, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I think a good example of that, you know, just being naturally on the same page, and we talked about it before, man, that fourth down against Virginia Tech, you know, I still don't understand how you guys managed to complete that pass after you fell.
So actually, that play was one of the plays that we did our own thing, you know? But that's what I'm saying. Like, Coach Dawson just has so much trust in us that, you know, he didn't – at times, of course, Coach Dawson is the best play caller in the nation, you know. But at times, like, he doesn't even have to call plays sometimes, you know. It's like, oh, what are you guys seeing? You know, he's a very, very good players coach, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense. That he lets you guys do what you do and do it really well. In this case, it definitely showed. When you look at just after Miami, right, you get down to the Senior Bowl, and you are one of the guys that I know and I predict. I said, man, this dude's going to kill one-on-ones. What was that experience like? How much did you like getting that opportunity, you know, those one-on-ones and showcasing what you could do?
No doubt. I mean, again, one-on-ones are super easy, you know. It's man-on-man and basically disrespectful at the end of the day, if you ask me, for someone to guard you one-on-one. But
yeah.
I guess for drill sake, I actually didn't know that we could run our own routes in one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl until, like, the third day. I was just trying to run what we had in the playbook. But, again, it was a lot of fun being out there with, you know, quarterbacks that you haven't played with your whole life, trying to learn them. And, again, it was such a fun week to create relationships and all that stuff.
What was some of the feedback? And we're talking to Xavier Restrepo, Miami receiver. Hey, Xavier, what was some of the feedback that you got from the personnel people at the scene?
You said the personnel people?
Yes.
I mean, again, I try to create as much relationships as I could with them early. I mean, again, they didn't really, you know, again, we weren't really too involved with, you know, the personnel people. We were more involved with the coaches and each other, you know, trying to learn each other. Again, it's all the best players in the entire nation in one room at a time, you know. So it's like, oh, you look to your left and there's Ollie Gordon. You look to your right, there's Tez Johnson, Dylan Gabriel. You know, you look behind you and it's, man, again, there's so many names. But,
right.
That's just some example, you know. So it's like you're trying not to miss out on creating relationships with all those guys, you know, because obviously you see them every single Sunday morning on ESPN making plays and stuff like that. But, the whole time we were just trying to create relationships, which we did.
I know your father was a big part in training you coming up, but for your combine prep and all of that, where did you train?
Yeah, so I started training at Bomberitos.
Okay.
In Aventura, and I finished training at Perform with Nick Hicks.
Got you. And then leading into the combine, I'll tell you a funny story, right? I'm at the combine, and I'm sitting in like row 3 in the end zone, right? And these people came in once it had started after me, and they got these Miami number 7 jerseys on. I'm like, what the heck? And I said, you know what? He's a real good player. And here it was. You know who it was? It was your family. They were there. So that was pretty dope. And I mentioned that because I know, you know, how much you and your parents, you know, they had you when they were younger. You guys kind of all grew together. Like, how much do you feel having them has really helped mold you into the person that you are today?
No doubt. They're, you know, my top 3, you know, inspiration. You know, they're the reason why I wake up and grind every single day and why I chase greatness, you know. So, again, they've helped me so much throughout my career, whether it was on the mental side or emotional side and even the physical side, you know. I've just been blessed, you know, to have them both in my life, my whole entire life. And to have young parents as well is like a blessing because they get to grow up with you, you know, and you get to learn so much about yourself through them and vice versa.
Yeah, no, that's a great observation, you know, a great comment right there. As you got through the whole combine process and you're meeting with teams, you're talking to people, what would you say? Was there like a common thing that they all said, hey, man, like we love the way you do this, we love the way you do that?
Excuse me, I couldn't hear the last part of your question. What was it again?
I said, was there, as you were talking to them, was there like a common thing that they said as far as like, hey, we love the way you do this or we love the way you do that?
Yeah, I mean, they just love how I'm a football player, you know?
Right.
At the end of the day, this past like three months, all we were doing was just underwear Olympic stuff, you know? that's what I like to call it. But at the end of the day, it's a National Football League, right? So I think that with, you know, all this stuff, you know, coming up, I think the most important thing is, you know, don't forget how to play football.
Yeah.
You know, you're training for a 40, you're training for a 5-10-5, you're training for a 3-cone shuttle and all that stuff. It's like, don't forget what got you those opportunities, and that's playing football, you know? And that's something that I strive my life on a lot is, you know, playing football, you know, because obviously I don't have God-given gifts and my God-given abilities to, you know, jump the highest or run the fastest. But, I mean, you line me up on a football field and I've done something that nobody has done in, you know, the whole entire history of Miami. And, again, all those guys have gone to the Pro Bowl and have gone to, you know, the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. So, I mean, I must be doing something right, you know, and I'm just going to lean on that, you know. So, again, I'm a big person of faith as well. So it says lean not on your own understanding, you know. So just putting all my faith in him and, you know, let's see where it goes.
You better go ahead and say that with your chest. And that's exactly why you know, when the time at the pro day or whatever came out. Like, I'm like, hey, listen, man, end of the day, this dude can still play football. So I don't care what that time was, because there's also a thing called lateral quickness, and that shows in the separation.
Right, exactly. And, again, understanding the game, I feel like, is so underplayed that, you know, I just think it's one of the most important things about the game.
No doubt about it. And that pro day, speaking of that, you know, Cam making sure that he waited until then to throw. So all of you guys, you know, Sam, Kobe, all you guys, you know, Arroyo, could get a chance to really showcase as well. What do you think that says for about him as a leader?
No doubt. I mean, again, Cam's a great guy. He's an elite competitor. And, I mean, again, we have so much respect for him. You know, I've never seen somebody come inside of a building and change it the way he did in 8 months, you know. So, again, we're expecting him to go number one overall. And anything else would be, you know, an extreme, extreme surprise.
Hey, what you tell me at the Senior Bowl, anybody that doesn't take him first would be crazy not to. But let's.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, he needs to be the first place taken off the board, whether someone trades for him or whether Tennessee takes him. He needs to be, you know, the first off the board. And if not, I feel bad for you, because he holds grudges. He holds grudges.
Well, listen, I know you'll play for any team, but how critical is it for whatever team that takes Cam to go ahead and make sure at some point, Xavier Restrepo is on that roster too?
No doubt. I mean, whoever gets, you know, again, I'm one of the most humble guys you'll ever meet, you know, but whoever is lucky enough to take me as well is going to get, you know, a future Hall of Famer. And I truly stand on that.
Absolutely. I love that, man. You got to buy into yourself, man. Xavier, I really appreciate you, man. I wish you the best going through the process. And it's, hey, we're just a little over a week away, man. I know you can't wait, and I can't wait to see where you end up.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you a lot. Thank you.
All right, for sure. Take care.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Folks, you know how I do. I always like to get the guys that I'm very, very high on for this show. And if you have listened to me, you know when we talk outside linebackers, defensive ends, when we talk pass rusher, one of the first names I always mention is Landon Jackson. So why not welcome him to the jungle that we call Talking with TD. Landon, what's up, man?
What's happening? I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you coming on. And look, so you got different people, right? Sometimes people are more on production. Others are more on traits. I want to point to the traits that you bring, 6'6", 264. Folks, at that size, a 40.5-inch vertical, 10'9 broad jump, we're talking about 4'6", 8", 40. How did you get like this, man? What happened?
Man, just head down working. You know, I've always been kind of doubting my whole career. And, you know, these past 2 years, I think I really just took another leap in my game, kind of grew more into my body. And, yeah, overall, just developing the player I know I can be. And, I mean, I still got a ways to go, and I know I got a lot to improve on. And I have a great feeling I'm going to be a very dominant pass rusher in this league once I get this opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we're not going to overlook genetics, you know what I mean? Because you look, yeah. your mom, she was a volleyball player, 6 feet. Your dad, yep. 6'11", played basketball at A&M. And then, you know, McNeese State, that's where they met. And, you know, I guess the rest is history, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Very athletic family background.
Here's the thing, though. When you take the traits and the athleticism and then you pair it, like, some people take that for granted. But you didn't. Yeah. Like, you pair it with the dedication. And I think, you know, a great story was how you used to walk a mile and a half to get to the facility. What was it that – and we're talking about middle school. Like, what was it that gave you that dedication, that drive at that early?
Man, just the opportunities, you know. Just kind of my biggest thing my parents preached to me is you're going to find a way to get school paid for. They're not paying for it. I either had to be really smart or I had to find a way to get my school paid for somehow. And I decided I wanted to do it with ball. So, yeah, I mean, just really dedicated at an early age. Lived fairly close to high school, and my head coach gave me the opportunity to work out with the varsity group my eighth grade year going into high school. So I didn't take that for granted. And, so I really took advantage of that. And I said, if I got to walk up to the facility every day, I'm going to do it if I get the opportunity to work out with the vets at that time. And, yeah, so really just always kind of had that dedication. I guess it comes from both parents, and yeah, that's basically it.
And then if you roll it back a little bit further, second grade, you were like, "Nah, man, I ain't playing flag football. I want to tackle." Like, what's?
Yep.
So you've always just wanted to play football, tackle people?
Yeah, I mean, just sports in general. I've never really been big on, I guess, video games and staying in the house. I've always been kind of an outdoorsy type of guy. I love playing sports. Always can't sit still. So I played basketball growing up. That was honestly my main sport for a while. But yeah, in second grade, my older brother, he's a year older than me, and tackle football starts in third grade, and you can't really play in second grade. But since I had an older brother on the team, they allowed me to kind of go ahead and jump up and play with him. And man, you wouldn't have thought I was the youngest on the field, but I was.
That's crazy. And it showed, right? You know, the dedication still transfers to now with the mm-hmm. sense of urgency that you play with. And we'll get to that in a second, but I want to talk about this diet as a kid. Like, help me understand how you managed to take in 4,000-plus calories a day. Like, what?
Yeah, man, I've always been a big eater, to be honest with you. Always. My grandma, excellent cook. So just from a young age, I've been a big eater. So whenever it got to the point where I was always, I guess, lighter throughout middle school and everything, and I got to high school, and going into my sophomore year, I had a great freshman season, started getting offers and everything, but I still knew I was too light. I was like 190, and I was the same height. So 6'5", 190 ain't really a defensive end at the college level.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of did that. My mom kind of set it up, had a pretty heavy plan. She'd make me, I think it was like, I mean, it was pretty big breakfast. She used to make, you know, at Waffle House, they have the hash brown bowls.
Yeah.
she used to make me those every morning. So she'd make a massive hash brown bowl, about 4 eggs, some sausage, a bunch of hash browns, eat that every morning, pack me a pretty big lunch. Used to be big on the Uncrustables growing up. So, man, just eating heavy. And then I had that same situation in college where I got real light out of nowhere and had to bulk it back up again. So I kind of got on a healthier, strict diet at that point, and it just kind of got on all clean, and kind of my body just kind of grew into that and felt that's the weight I need to be at.
And we're talking to Arkansas Edge defender Landon Jackson, and you just mentioned, you know, the college. You put on 40 pounds. I'm curious, just being able to put that weight on and not lose explosiveness, not lose speed, was there something different that you did? Is that just attributed to the training staff? Where would you credit that?
Yeah, I really got to give all the credit to Coach Ben Souders, my strength coach at Arkansas. He kind of just took control of that. Obviously, the nutritionist had me eating all the right stuff, but he was big on not just bulking up, getting heavy in the weight room. I mean, every day we were outside doing a bunch of different sprint work, really, really working on explosiveness and speed, because it doesn't matter how big you are if you can't move. So I'd say a lot of that is on him. And then just we always implemented yoga, different things like that, and I feel like that helped a lot as well.
Yeah, and it really shows. I mean, obviously, you didn't get double-digit sacks, which is okay. That's fine. But, you know, I noticed a lot of times, you know, where you would line up, it wasn't always conducive to being a sack guy, where it was just, you know, you had to get the pressure and someone else may get mm-hmm. the sack. How much do you think that part of your game is underrated? Just the fact that, okay, yeah, 6.5 sacks. Hey, he didn't even get 10. How's he going to do it in the league?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of looking at a lot of guys. I mean, there's a lot of us like that right now in this draft class. But at the end of the day, my defense that I played in college isn't the same I'll play in the NFL. And if it is, I feel like I could definitely be a lot more productive. And, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to look at the way a player plays and kind of see what he can be at this next level. And I feel like I could be a dominant player, you know. I mean, that motor I play with, my length, and really my moves, I feel like I've even kind of upgraded my pass rush bag throughout this pre-draft training process. So I think it's going to take another step.
Where have you been working out? Who did you work with to upgrade your bag like that?
Yeah, man, it's been pretty all over. Back in I was working at Exos in Phoenix for pre-draft combine. Worked with Coach Nate. He's based out of – he was in Miami, did a lot of Under Armour, works with a lot of the guys at the NFL as well. Worked with Coach Brandon Tucker as well. And then right now I'm in Dallas training with BT Jordan. Just trying to get all my hand coordinate, everything kind of flowing together before I get to training camp.
And we're talking to Arkansas edge defender Landon Jackson. I remember being in the Omni there in the basement and watching you and Shamar Stewart. I'm just looking at you guys like, man, these guys are too big to be moving. Did Shamar work out? Was he in Phoenix with you, or was he at a different Exos?
Yeah, he was at the Exos in Phoenix. It was great getting to work with him. He's a really talented player. I feel like he'll be another guy that makes an immediate impact at the NFL level. So, no, it was great getting to work with him. We had a really deep DN group out there at Exos in Phoenix.
Nice. And I remember at the Combine talking to you, you mentioned Max Crosby. And it's crazy because, like, I saw the similarities as far as the motor, the length, some of the pass rush moves. Like, you got a like a long arm stab that you mix with a chop. And I watched you get to the quarterback a lot. Did you get those types of, like, do you watch guys like Max Crosby and others and, like, pull moves from them?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely study all those guys. You know, my biggest right now that I like watching is Crosby, Hutch, Aiden Hutchinson, and then Myles Garrett as well. So I really just try taking things from a lot of different guys' games and try to implement it into mine. I feel like Crosby's game kind of is the best for me to emulate because I feel like we have a lot of similarities, play the game pretty similar with the high motor, fly around, something doesn't go right, find a way to make it right. And, I mean, yeah, so I really like studying those guys a lot. I really like studying Max in his run game. And a lot of people, I guess, don't really notice the run game as much, but that dude's a dominant run defender and knows how to set an edge and dominate tight ends and tackles at the line of scrimmage. So, it's pretty broad. You know, I study a lot of those guys, but kind of for different reasons as well.
It's interesting you mentioned the run defense. And you know, you're a guy, you had 9.5 tackles for a loss. Obviously, you know, not all of it was, you know, in run defense, but whatever. But I do like the way that could set you up for a pass rush situation. So now you can pin your ears back and go get the quarterback. Max, he was actually, before he got to the league, he was on this show. And I remember he was talking about how people were doubting him because he's coming out early from Eastern Michigan, and it drove him. For you personally, like some of the doubts, oh, he doesn't have a bunch of stats. Oh, he's too long. He plays too high. He's too leggy, et cetera. How do you digest all of that? Do you push it aside, or do you use it as fuel?
Yeah, definitely kind of a mix of both, you know. I use it as fuel, but at the same time, you can't listen to all of it, you know. So, just kind of let it push me and continue to prove everybody wrong. Because, you know, coming out of high school, it's a lot of the same things. Oh, he's rated too high. Oh, he won't be this at the college level, this and that. So just kind of continue to one-up the haters, I guess, you know. First, my goal going to college was to become a starter, and then it was to be all-SEC and then have the opportunity to go to the NFL draft. And, man, I feel like I'm continuing to check those boxes, and, I just want to keep checking them once I enter the league as well.
That's what's up. Landon, what is some of the feedback you've gotten from the personnel people, you know, in this process? Like, you go back to the Senior Bowl, you balled out there throughout the week, had the couple sacks in the game. What's the feedback you got there and then also at the Combine?
Man, biggest thing they're saying is, haven't really gotten a range or a number yet besides pretty early, you know. So that's all I keep hearing is you're going to go early, but not being told the exact range or number. So I'm kind of waiting just like everybody else. But, from feedback from Combine and Senior Bowl is, man, you're checking all the boxes. Just keep checking them, you know. Your character's great. You haven't been in any trouble. You're married. You're doing everything the right way. And just continue to keep checking the boxes and keep living life the right way, and everything's going to continue to kind of prosper for you.
Hey, Landon, I need you to get out of my notebook, man, because I was about to say next, you know, about you being married and how that's a sign of maturity. I'm glad you brought that up yourself. As you have gone through this process, and the teams, they look at you and they say, hey, you know, we want you to play here. Is there a particular team that you feel has been, like, the hottest on you, or is it just kind of like a package of teams?
Man, it's kind of a group of, like, kind of a steady group that's been on me pretty heavy. And it's a lot of those teams kind of late first, got some second-round picks as well. You know, it's I want to say it's like Bills, Commanders, 49ers, Saints have been on me pretty decent, Chiefs as well. So, yeah, it's just kind of a group of teams that are all kind of on me pretty heavy. All seems like they like me a decent amount. But, I mean, I'm not in their room, so I don't know a whole lot. But but the kind of vibe I get off them, I feel like they like me a lot.
How have the visits gone? What are some of the visits that stood out to you?
I actually didn't have any 30 visits. It's all been Zooms and them coming to see me.
Okay.
So it's been like that. I was kind of worried at first with my agent.
Don't worry too much.
He was like, with you having good character, you're not going to get many of those, this and that. So, yeah, just been kind of a lot of Zooms and a lot of them coming down to Fayetteville.
Well, you mentioned teams, right, who early second, right, late first, et cetera, the Titans. They're 35. Have you done a Zoom with them at all?
Yes, I did do a Zoom with the Titans.
Okay, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Hopefully you do end up here. Before we get you out of here, I want to just kind of go over. You mentioned the pass rush bag. I mean, obviously each situation is different, right? You're going to rush Trent Williams differently from how you rush Lane Johnson, right? But, I mean, just overall in general, like what's your typical pass rush plan? Like how do you like to set a lineman up and be able to, you know, get past him and sack the quarterback?
Yeah, definitely like to stay on my line, you know, kind of beat them to that point. And, I mean, if I beat them to the point, I mean, a great get off is what all pass rush should kind of start with, you know, because if you beat the man there, he's already defeated, you know, he's playing catch up kind of. So biggest thing is my get off, trying to emphasize that right now, really work that. And then also emphasize my length, you know, if I'm as long and as big as I am, I need to kind of find a way to keep tackles off me like that. And I feel like I showed that quite a bit at the college level. But, just trying to get that, I guess, my long arm and all that a lot stronger to where I could do the same thing at the NFL level with it.
It's all about who can hit who first. And a lot of times you were able to hit them first. Last thing, if you could if you could pick one quarterback in the league to register your first sack on, who would it be?
I'd have to say Lamar Jackson.
Ooh. Why is that?
Man, dude's fast. Dude can move, get around, really talented quarterback. And, I've been watching him since I was young, you know, so really excited to get the opportunity to go play against guys like that. And that's definitely the guy I want to get after first.
That's awesome. Landon, man, it is – like I'm cheesing. I'm glad we were able to get you on this show. Like I said, you're one of my favorite guys in this draft. So thank you so much for taking the time. Definitely appreciate it. And, hey, man, I wish you the best throughout the process.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me.
All right, for sure. Take care. So that was Arkansas edge defender Landon Jackson. Always, always a pleasure to have those guys whose game I really appreciate. Definitely thanks to him for coming on. Shout out to Xavier Restrepo, too, man. Laying the law down, saying that, hey, underwear Olympics are different from actual football. He couldn't be more right. Both of these guys, they'll be playing on Sunday, so definitely thanks to them for coming on. Run TMC is always an experience with Chris Sanders. And, hey, man, Parker Kelly put this thing together. We're going to put Parker on the grill for next week. Let him have an interview with one of the prospects I know he really likes. So definitely stay tuned for that. In the meantime, shout out to each of you for tuning in, man. Draft season has been a blast. It is just awesome to be able to bring this content to you guys and get the feedback. So continue to rock with us. Check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get to find listening materials. Search Talking Lit TV. Subscribe, rate, review.